Well, good morning, my brothers and my sisters. What a day, what a day. Give thanks to the Lord, all ye land, eh? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Know ye that the Lord is God. He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Amen? We are here for one wonderful purpose, and that is to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Welcome, and especially those who are online, we want to say a very special welcome to you and pray that God's will be your will today, and that you'll seek to follow and to serve him all the days of your life and for all our lives together. You know, I was thinking as I got up and as I was preparing for this message, one thing that really struck me, and you will see as we develop our message today, is the whole question of decision making. And everybody here today, I know at some point, had to make a decision. And the obvious one is that you made a decision to be here. Praise God. And we're here. But what is the biggest challenge for this, our community, our world, is that we make good decisions and we make bad decisions. I'm happy to say that this morning I reflect on a couple of the really, truly great decisions I made. The first one is to marry my wife, Audrey, around the back there. Really good decision. The next decision I made, which I kind of regret even after today, I told my daughter, Michelle, and my son, Philip, that I was going to do a special in church. And so they sat very wonderfully, obediently, as two young kids, and they saw Daddy went up, and I stood up before the audience, and I started to sing. Then all of a sudden, I saw them kind of falling down underneath the chair. That was a bad decision. That was a bad decision. So today, we will focus on the great parable Jesus taught his disciples concerning a son who was lost and was later found. And I want to focus on that today because it has a lot of imperative for all of us, not only in our personal and our professional, but more importantly in our spiritual lives. There's no question that this particular parable is relevant today and also has a far-reaching relevance and implication for all our lives and for all times. It is most important that we consider the importance and significance of the decisions that we made. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for this glorious moment that you've given us to be in your house to sing your praises. We thank God for the joy that we have, the ability that you've given us to call upon your name. And we seek, O God, your wisdom today as we make decisions. Decisions that will not only affect us and our families, but to affect mankind in general. We pray your glorious and mighty will be done in all these things. We ask, O God, that your special blessings will be upon your people as we come and as we share. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. So our discourse today will draw attention to a father's unwavering compassion towards his son at a time and in a moment of great need and great distress. Let me use this opportunity to remind us, as we will soon discover from our study, that the decisions that we make and the choices we make are likely to have a lasting and consequential impact on our lives. And that will be visible, will be clear, and will be direct for all to see. When we make good or bad decisions, individual lives will be affected. Families will be affected. And in many, many cases, society at large will be affected. So let us thank God today. And not only today, but let's thank God every day for the power of His Word. His Word, which He has given us to freely lead us and to guide us in all our ways. But people sometimes unexpectedly get off the track. It can happen, and it does happen. We lose our mooring. We lose our capacity to act rationally, morally, and even responsibly. This can happen to us at any time, anywhere, to anyone, for all kinds of reasons. As a matter of fact, sometimes it is the simplest and most innocuous decisions we make that cause us to lose our way and fall in what I will describe as the tough and often difficult times that we experience. But we must at all times be on our guard. We must be mindful of the things we say and the things we do. Amen? Yes. Because there is nothing more pressing, nothing more important than for us to be in and under the power and grace and goodness of God. Luke, the 15th chapter, verse 11 to 13. The parable we will talk about today concerns a man who had two sons, and the younger said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So the father divided his property between them. Not long after, the younger son got together all that he had, and he sets out for a distant country and squandered his wealth. The Bible says in wild living. You know what wild living is? Oh, yes, he was living it up. So the youngster did not lose his wealth accidentally or because of any bad or misjudged investment decisions. The Bible said he squandered everything he had in wild living. He just simply lost his way. And he did so in a most unforgettable way. He was reckless. He was wasteful. He was excessive. Indeed, he was the ultimate prodigal son, and his wild and extravagant lifestyle finally caught up with him. Yes, it did. And verse 14 says, after he spent everything he had, a severe famine hit the whole country, and to be expected, he began to be in need. One thing I need for us to pay particular attention to this morning is the fact that whenever we fail to plan, especially for the unexpected, our lives will not be the same. Adjustments will have to be made, possibly to include and to protect and safeguard our very survival. very important to bear this in mind. Now, he's a complete stranger in a distant land. He was totally broke, had no place to lay his head. No food, no friends, no family. More importantly, he had no job. The young man found himself in a total, desperate, and untenable situation. A real disaster. Real disaster. Verse 15 and 16 says, so he went out and he hired himself to a citizen of that country, like any normal person would do, who sent him into his field to go and feed his pigs. Nobody gave him anything. And when you bear in mind the fact that he was starving, working in a pigsty or in a pig farm, he had no choice but to feed on the pods that were prepared for the pigs. But I want to share with us this morning, before he squandered all his resources, he had choices. He had decisions to make. Now he found himself in need and in a crisis because he made very bad decisions and very bad choices. We all have opportunities to make decisions. We all make choices each and every day. And we need to be aware that these are the very decisions and choices that will determine and define our faith, whether for good or for bad. The choices we make today will impact our lives tomorrow. Thank God. When we make the decision to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we made the perfect decision. May the church say, amen. So too often we squander opportunities. We squander opportunities to study the Word of God. And we forfeit these opportunities that would cause us to grow spiritually. And sometimes, unfortunately, we allow these opportunities just to slip away. Another bad decision. The choices, decisions we make today can and will have a lasting and profound impact on our lives. But something amazing happened in verse 17. Something amazing happened. The Bible said the young man came to his senses. And I really take heart with that, because it is suggesting to me that if he came to his senses, it meant that he had what? Lost his senses. And the idea, when you lose your senses, you're no longer in control. You no longer have the ability to make right decisions. The young man came to his senses, and his reality came to him as he faced his crossroads and as he faced his truth squarely. He understood the direction in which he was heading and the challenges that he faced when he compared his life to the present and the life that he lived prior. He knew that he made a wrong choice and a wrong decision somewhere along the way. What a difference a moment can make when you're able to come to your senses. My question for all of us today is, where do you stand right now with your own coming to your senses? Because all of us have to come to our senses at some point or the other, because we make decisions every day, and we make wrong decisions every day, and we make right decisions every day. When are you coming to your senses? What will it take to motivate you to come to your senses? God has given us His Son, through whom we have every opportunity to make right choices, and therefore we make right decisions. The person of Jesus Christ, the Lord, if you are in Him, He will abide with you as you abide with Him, and in Him, and through Him. Will we act accordingly? Will we act now before it is ever too late? Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So if you want to build a relationship, my brother talks about the reconciliation with God. If you want to build or restore a relationship with God, you got to go through Jesus. Amen? You got to go through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the answer, and He's pleading to us. He's waiting for us right now. He's asking us, He's beseeching us to come to Him right now. Right now. So after coming to his senses, the young man was committed to action. And I like that. When you are far removed from your senses and you no longer have an understanding as to what is happening in your life, and you come to the realization that you have been moving off course and you're back on course, are you willing to take the necessary corrective action to continue to restore your sense of sensibility and rightness? After coming to his senses, he was committed to action. He recognized that the time for action was now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. The time for action is right now. Yes. I will set out, he says, and I'll go back to my Father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. No longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He was prepared to take action. He was prepared to go back to his Father to make amendments to his life. So he got up and he went to his Father. Let me remind you, my friends, Jesus Christ is our true and firm foundation. And He is all we need to move forward in this new and fulfilled life that He'll make available to all of us. Yes. How many of my Father's hired hands are food to spare, and here I am in death. The abundance of God's mercy and grace is rightly and richly available. And where I am today, I'm here starving. I'm in need of food. And my Father has the abundance of food. He's in control of everything that I need for righteousness and for life. The Apostle John says, Jesus, whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's John 14. John 4, 14. So everything that we need, God will supply. So the young man came to terms with his own reality. He reminded himself of all the benefits that he had before. And he knew that all he had to do is just to be restored to the only supplier of every good thing, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus, the benefits we have are incomparable. They cannot be compared with or compared to. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. He says, our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can think or ask according to the power that worketh in us. The power of His Spirit that works in our lives. When we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we receive the power of His Spirit that will dwell in us and will lead us and guide us into all truth. So he came to his senses, and the truth was revealed. The eyes of his life were now opened. He was able to see. He was now able to think. He was there now able to reason clearly. My friends, our situation likewise will begin to change when we come to our senses. And when we earnestly seek the wonderful grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Truth will always triumph over lies and light over darkness. When we come to our senses, we will now be able to see the light, as the light of Jesus will shine brightly in our hearts. Verses 18 and 19 says, I will set out and I'll go back to my Father, and I will say to my Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. He was prepared, he was willing to chart a new life, a new course, to go into a new direction. He was prepared to make his life worth living again. The son recognized and he acknowledged his mistakes. And he demonstrated a willingness, a desire to accept responsibilities for his errors and his actions. He says, Father, I have sinned. I've sinned against heaven and against you. And so I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I've failed you. I no longer qualify for sonship. Accept me instead, please, Lord, as one of your hired servants. But praise God. Praise God, we serve a merciful God. We serve a mighty and compassionate God. When we are at our lowest, when we are at our worst, when we are at our most ineffective, when we are at our lowest ebb, God's grace is sufficient. Yes, we can count on God. We can rely on God. We can look to God, in whom we have all things. Verse 19 says, how difficult it must be for a father to hear his son say, I am not worthy to be called your son. Can you imagine, just for a moment, to hear your son come to you as a father, say, Dad, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Because I've sinned against you. I've done you so much hurt, such wrong. What emotional pain, what anguish, what terrible feelings must be welling up within the son as he uttered these painful words. How difficult as well must it be for the father to hear from the lips of his son that Father, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I am willing to give up all my recognitions, all my entitlements, all my access, all my ability to be able to be a part of the family. The question this morning is, what are you willing to give up this morning? What are you prepared to give up to ensure that you can be restored, that you can once again receive the salvation that Christ has freely given to us when you walk away initially from that salvation? So the son got up and he went to his father. The Bible says while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. Can you imagine that picture? Can you wrap your eyes and your minds around that scene? He ran a far way off. I do not know how old the father must have been, but I can imagine he's an older man. And when he saw his son, he started to jog. He started to run towards his son. And when he caught up with him, he embraced him. And he put his arms around him. And he kissed him. The anticipation, my friends, of the father and son waiting earnestly and anxiously to see each other, that coming together must be so palpable. It is something that you would have to be there to experience, to understand. It was truly a father's compassion on full and open display. Can you imagine the day when we are able to run into the blessed arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and he will say to us, welcome. Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. What a blessing. What a blessed day that will be. How much more should we be showing compassion to our families in our own homes? How much more should we be showing compassion in our churches, in our communities, in our societies? A lot of what we hear these days, and you can bear testimony to this, is the watered down and the overused words, our thoughts and our prayers are with you. Someone in need, the politicians and everybody, oh, my thoughts and my prayers are with you. What about my thoughts, my prayers, and my compassion is also with you? True compassion requires that we step away from the emotion of empathy and sympathy and ask, what can I do to help? What support can I give you? I'll briefly share a quote from Ian MacFarlane. He says, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a harder battle. My friends, when you think you have it tough, there's someone out there who is having a tougher time. This father's compassion went beyond emotion. He saw the needs of his son, and he acted with grace and with love. This is the way our Heavenly Father will meet us when we are weak and at a point of greatest need. Matthew 9 and 36, Jesus says, when he saw the crowd of people, he says he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. Verse 38, he says, the Lord of the harvest, he sent out workers and to the field, also to hell. We're talking about compassion must be in action. The Father's compassion was so great, he dispatched his servants with great urgency. Verse 22 to 24. He says, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. God has given us promises and hopes that we can hold on to and that we can look forward to. The Apostle Peter declares, he says, Peter, 2 Peter 3, 9 to 10, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And as Jesus brought the parable to its intended conclusion, he said this. Chapter 15, 3 to 7. And I want you to pay particular attention to what Jesus says about repentance. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The act of repentance is powerful. The act of repentance is essential. The act of repentance is necessary in the eyes of the Lord. If we have a need to repent, let us do it now. There isn't a better time than today, than right now. So the older son, who stayed home, rightfully and understandably annoyed with all the attention that his brother was receiving. Verse 32 and 33, as we close. But with a gentle assurance and an understanding heart, his father wisely said to him, son, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Let me leave this loss, and often not regarded thought with you. Start your journey with life. Start your journey with Jesus. This will be your most important first step. As you proceed on your journey with Jesus, be faithful and steadfast to the end. And Jesus, our blessed Savior, will welcome you and greet you with open arms. We are here as people who have once been lost. But praise God, today we all have an equal opportunity to be found. God's grace has made all of this possible. Luke chapter 19:10, Jesus said it most eloquently. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Jesus can and will save you. Jesus will make things right in your life. But you must surrender all to him. You must place him in full control of your life. Will you make your decision today? At the top of the message, I talked about our ability to make decisions. We make good decisions and we make bad decisions. You and only you can make your decision today to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus is willing and he's waiting. Call out his name. Give him your mighty praise because he will invite you with open arms and he will set you apart. The word of God is here. Let us embrace the word of God today. May God bless you. May he keep you and may he cause his face to shine upon you and grant us all his peace. God bless you. I invite the band to come forward. If you have never started your journey with Jesus, let's not leave this place without stepping forward in confidence and with assurance that he will welcome you and extend his warm embrace. Because Jesus is Lord, and only he can set your crooked path straight. Only he can make life in your life renewed. Let us give him the honor and the praise that is due his name as we seek to walk hand in hand with our Lord and our Savior this day. If there's anyone who is in need of prayers, anyone who needs to have the elders would support you in prayer, would lift you up in prayer, or would take any personal needs or concerns you have, I would ask that you come forward. And the elders will come at this time.